CPN podcast number 9. It's the things that you don't want that lead to blessing. I'm Arlene Westerhoff, and welcome to the Prophesy Impact podcast, the podcast for those who want more. More of walking out your calling with God, more of knowing His ways through hearing His voice, and more of Him being able to use you to impact your world. The teaching and the interviews on the Prophesy Impact podcast will give you a unique perspective about the times we're living in and what you need to do so that you can position yourself for impact. Now, before I start, I want to say thank you for choosing to spend your time with me today on this podcast. The Prophesy Impact podcast is meant to serve you. And so if there are topics or subjects that you want to know more about that will help you to have impact, let me know. You can do this by sending me a mail at arlenewesterhoff.com. Now, at the end of my podcast last week called The Absolute Necessity of Finding Your Passion If You're Going to Change Your World, I spoke about the fact that our passion is always connected to our calling. Passion shows up in the heart of children. And so by taking a look at what you loved to do when you were young is one way to help you to identify your passion. Passion is a force inside of us that's so strong that when we connect to it, it will keep us awake at night until we move on it. Discovering your passion, therefore, is the key to moving into convergence. And convergence is a place where your gifts, your natural talents, and your passion intersect, and where you know that you're doing what you were meant to be doing. It's a place where you're truly alive. And that's the fullness that Jesus talks about in John chapter 10 when he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Last week, I also talked about three things that we need to know about passion. First, that God is the one who ignites it, if it's truly a divinely inspired passion. The second is that passion will spur us on to do things that change our world. And these initiatives will always be birthed in prayer. And third, our passion will always push us out of our comfort zones. And for this, I talked about how God used me, a scientist by training, to start the Economic Summit, a world-class kingdom think tank that is changing the world's economies. Now, that was last week. But today, we're going to talk about something different, and that is that how it's often the things that we don't want and that we don't want to do that result in the most blessing and that open the doors to impact. Now, even though I live in the Netherlands, I grew up in Toronto, Canada. And as a child, I used to spread out maps of the world on my bed and wonder what the world would be like if there were no borders. I guess you could say that even back then, I had a global vision. I just didn't know it. However, there was one problem, and it was a big one. And that was that I was deathly afraid of flying. When I was growing up, our home was on the flight path to the airport in Toronto, and one day, when I was 11 years old, a plane ran into trouble trying to land and crashed in a farmer's field close to our home. There were no survivors, and because it was so close, it had a big impact on me and on everyone in our community. Now, those of you who know Canada know that ice hockey is our national sport. And that means that every city and town, no matter how small, has an indoor skating rink. And as an emergency measure, the bodies of those who had died in the crash were stored in body bags on the ice of the skating rink in our town for a short time. About a week and a half, maybe two, after the accident, I decided to go skating. I didn't know if the rink would still be closed, but I decided to take a chance. And when I got there, I looked around on the outside of the building for signs saying that it was closed, but there were none. And when I pulled on the door, it opened. And so I went in. And I will never forget the sight that confronted me when I did. Rows and rows of body bags on the ice. I don't remember how long exactly I was there, but I'm sure it wasn't that long. However, the sight of those body bags with the people inside of them traumatized me, and I decided right then and there that I would never fly again. and I didn't for the next 17 years. However, in the year just before I finished my PhD, I was asked by a Christian student ministry on campus if I would consider serving for 2 years in China as a tent maker missionary. Back then, China was just opening up, and I was still really, really afraid to fly. Everything inside of me wanted to say no when they asked me, but I did promise to pray about it. Now, I wish I could say it was for a spiritual reason. However, the simple truth of the matter was that I just didn't want to look bad. And so I prayed. And when I did, God said, "Arlene, you have to make it a fair game. I want you to write letters to 10 people telling them about what you've been asked to do. Don't ask them for money, just tell them that you've been asked to do this." Now, I needed $4,800 to go, and at that time I had less than $100 in my bank account. And so I figured it was a safe bet that I wouldn't be able to get the money and that I wouldn't have to fly. I wrote the letters and I sent them off. However, within a week, $5,200 had come in for this trip. A friend of mine, Lance Wallnau, he talks about God being Jehovah sneaky sometimes, and that is exactly what happened in this case. I had promised God that if he brought in the money, I would go, but I never expected that he would do it. So I had a problem. On the day that we were supposed to fly, I packed my bags and I went to the airport. And when my flight was called to board, I was overwhelmed with terror, and the fear was paralyzing. And in the end, I was so scared that I couldn't move. And some friends from the same student ministry that I was involved with and who had already gotten on the plane had to get off the plane and come and carry me on board. I cried for almost the whole 5.5-hour flight from Toronto to Vancouver. And then we flew 13 hours nonstop from Vancouver to Hong Kong. Now, I was in China for 2 weeks, and during that time, we made multiple flights in aircraft, many of which looked like they'd come out of the 1950s. In one aircraft, my seatbelt even came off in my hand as I was trying to lock myself in. Every time we flew, I either cried or was filled with fear. However, by the time I got back to Canada, God had broken the fear of flying off of me. What I didn't know back then was that travel would become a big part of my life. These days, I spend a lot of time doing it, and it's part of my calling. And I love to fly, so God has really done a miracle. However, I wouldn't have been able to do it if I hadn't obeyed the Lord back then, and just as importantly, if I hadn't had the support of friends who literally carried me onto the plane instead of allowing me to succumb to my fear. And this is an important point that I want to make here. True friends are those who support us in our obedience to God. They don't allow us to take comfort in succumbing to fear. And these are the kinds of people that we all need in our inner circles. I didn't want to fly, but these days, God now sends me around the world as a prophetic minister and as an economic think tank leader. And people are being blessed as a result. Now, before I continue, I just want to pray for you, since I'm experiencing that some of you listening are being held back in different areas of your lives by fear. Father, I pray for each one listening. God, that you would touch their eyes. Father, that you would give them clarity about the areas in their lives in which they may not even be aware of that they're being held back by fear. Father, you say, "I haven't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Father, we ask you for this now, in the name of Jesus. I said it earlier, today's topic is that it's often the things that we don't want and what we don't want to do that result in the most blessings and that open the doors to impact. Jacob and Leah's story from the Bible illustrates this powerfully. In Genesis chapter 27, Jacob steals his brother Esau's blessings by deceiving his father. Esau, he vows to kill Jacob, and Jacob has to run for his life. And in Genesis chapter 29, Jacob arrives in the land of the east where his uncle Laban lives. And there he meets Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel, and falls in love with her. He then agrees to work for his uncle for 7 years so that he can marry Rachel. But on the wedding night, Laban swaps Rachel for Leah, and Joseph sleeps with her. And when he wakes up the next morning, he's horrified, and he confronts his uncle, who only then tells him that it is their tradition that the oldest daughter has to marry first. Laban makes a deal with Jacob that after he completes the required marriage week, as it was called back then, he could have Rachel as well, in exchange for another 7 years of work. Jacob the deceiver was confronted with another deceiver, and he got a taste of his own medicine. Now, usually this story is told from the perspective of Jacob. Today, however, I want to tell it from the perspective of Leah. Can you imagine how she must have felt? Women had few rights back then, and her father had given her to a man who she knew loved someone else. I can only imagine the rejection that she must have felt the next morning when Jacob woke up and he looked at her with a look of horror on his face. However, God did not forget Leah, and he had something in store for her. In Genesis 29, verses 31 to 35, we read, "When the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he enabled her to have children, but Rachel could not conceive. And so Leah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. And she named him Reuben, for she said, 'The Lord has noticed my misery, and now my husband will love me.' She soon became pregnant again and gave birth to another son. And she named him Simeon, for she said, 'The Lord heard that I was unloved and has given me another son.' Then she became pregnant a third time and gave birth to another son, and he was named Levi, for she said, 'Surely this time my husband will feel affection for me, since I have given him three sons.' Once again, Leah became pregnant and gave birth to another son, and she named him Judah, for she said, 'Now I will praise the Lord.' And then she stopped having children. However, a few years later, we read further on in Genesis 30, verse 17 and 18, and God answered Leah's prayers. Obviously, she had been praying to have another child, and she became pregnant again and gave birth to a fifth son for Jacob, and she named him Issachar. Now, Jacob didn't want Leah. He was stuck with her. And all in all, Jacob worked for Laban for 20 years in order to get not only Rachel, but Leah. And yet, through it all, God used Leah to give Jacob in total six sons, including Judah, who is the father of those from the kingly line and also the line from which the Messiah would come thousands of years later, Levi, he's the father of the priestly line, and Issachar, the father of the prophets. So what am I trying to say here? Is that God used the very thing that Jacob did not want to bring about blessings that we are still experiencing today, thousands of years later. And he gave Leah an inheritance, and he made her the mother of prophets, priests, and kings. God was faithful to Jacob, and he was faithful to Leah, and he is still faithful to us today. Now, this week, I'd really encourage you to take some time to get with the Lord and see if there are areas in your life where there are things that you are rejecting that you don't want or that you don't want to do. Ask God to speak to you, and when he shows you these things, repent and ask him to help you to embrace them. Our God is faithful, and if we will embrace these things, he will use them to open doors so that your life can have an impact and be a blessing to many. And Father, I pray today that you would help us to see these areas. God, I pray that you'd move everyone listening forward massively in walking out their callings with you today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to say thank you today for taking the time to join me on the Prophesy Impact podcast. I really do appreciate it and hope that you've been blessed. Now, it's my intention that these podcasts serve you. Therefore, you can contact me via my website, which I'll mention in just a moment, to give me your comments and your feedback. Also, if there are subjects that you'd like to hear more about, things that you feel would help you to move forward and having more of an impact in your life, let me know by contacting me on the website. And my website is arlenewesterhoff.com. Be sure to join me next week when we'll be talking about living strategically by discovering the keys to kingdom breakthrough. Now, whatever stage you're at in your life right now, God wants you to know there is more. It's His time for you, and it's time to prophesy impact. If you've enjoyed today's show, please take the time to subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. I'd also like to invite you to subscribe to my Arlene Westerhoff YouTube channel. There I've got different content that will encourage you and will build you up. For those of you who want to see more impact through your life in 2021, I've written a prophetic word about what God is shaking us out of, and more importantly, what He is shaking us into in this year. It's important for all of those who want to have impact. And finally, do not forget to order my book, Impact, Prophesy, and Change the World. It's available on Amazon.